What do you do when your word is a lamp for your feet? The Bible will talk to you about that. In Psalm 119, 105 to 112, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, and I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. And accept, Lord, the willing praise out of my mouth. And teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever, and they are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Boy, that's something to say, isn't it? That's coming out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. David is the psalmist in these verses, and he's a man who was filled with trouble. He did wrong often, but he never lost his way home to the Lord. Is that possible for people to do that? Don't we all mess up along the way? David, even in his sinfulness and moral limitations, loved God more than he loved himself. There are two things each of us must remember, and that is that we do and will often fail God just like David did. David was a good guy, but he did some bad stuff. But you know what? There's people sitting right here in this audience today who are good people, but have done some bad stuff. Yes or no? David ponders some of these verses, and he'll deliver at least 8 evidences from within the purpose of listening to and living out the words of the Almighty. David did not, as we might say, beat himself up, but he was certainly prolific in penning words that illuminated his constant weakness and shortcomings. David was a great guy, had a lot of problems. I've been reading different stuff here recently, and I can tell you, if people read the Bible, you're going to find yourself not doing that great. And in some days, you're just on top of the world. You can go from the top of the world to the bottom of the earth just like that. The best word I know for David is a rascal. You don't know which way a rascal's going. As we might say, he beat himself up, but he was certainly prolific in penning words that illuminated his constant weakness and shortcoming. Though he was this rascal, he was called by God a man after his own heart. How can God embrace somebody, be it us or people from another time in history? How can that be? And God still keeping up with all of that. David pondered these words of inspiration. He found within them evidences of what God would have him become and the heart that he would yield himself to have. Though it may be difficult for us to comprehend that a man can be so wrong, I mean, David was flat out wrong a lot. It makes me think of myself. I don't get it right. There's so many facets in his life, and in God's embrace, he can also be right, and the same goes for us. We can actually be okay. God says of you or me, you're a man after God's own heart. Does that sound good or bad? That's good stuff. If God says of you these words, don't cast it aside. Don't beat yourself up thinking it's the right thing to do for God not to beat you up. God's not going to beat you up. He understands our weakness. I have weaknesses. I hang out in a church house with people with weaknesses. And tomorrow or the next week or the next month or whenever it might be, we're going to be doing the same thing again. And God knows who we are. In Hebrews chapter 4, 15 to 16, this is getting into the priesthood. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. In these short verses, David shouts of faith and conviction as it describes glorious qualities the Word of God presents. He modeled for us, even in his weakness, a profound profession of his willingness to live out obeying what God had directed him to do. Are you impressed with the fact that you're looking at Old Testament stuff that's pushed forward, some of it is, with the New Testament, and God is still as loving for you as he was back in those years, way back, as he is right now? God's on your side. I wish I didn't mess up. I wish I could remember all the things that could come out of the Scriptures. Without reading them anymore, I can't do that. I can read them, and I'll listen, and I'll do. But I'll find myself somewhere doing not so well some days. Any of you like that? Well, let me tell you, if you are like that, don't beat yourself up for it. That's just what's going to happen. He modeled for us, even in his weakness, David did, a profound profession of his willingness to live out and obeying what God had directed him to do. And as long as we do that, we're good. What would it be like if we had a congregation of people, large or small, who constantly called on the Almighty, asking Him to teach us His ways and direct our path? Boy, that's powerful. David did this because in God's Word he saw and understood that there were evidences within God's holy Word that would sustain him throughout his life and bring others to his embrace. God's own righteous behavior, which is exactly our function. 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It's simply stated that God's word prevails in all things. God's on our side. When we decide that we want to rule ourselves, our righteous choice is not before us. But when we allow to let God do the choosing, who's going to make things right? Is it going to be me or you? Or is it going to be God? God's word was David's declaration of his rule in life. What could we envision if every single believer in the world, or let's just say, in the body of Christ, were to take on and live out this declaration of David? If we just took on just this one thing, would that straighten up a whole lot of people? Our love for the Word of God is not best shown by the way we read it, but rather how we live it out in our lives. And we walk at the same time in His ways. Our love for the Lord is powerful. It calls us to heed God's path and reject the desire to make a path of our own. I don't need to make a path. I need to follow the path that's already there. When Jesus walked this earth, there were huge numbers of people like the doctors of the law, and the scribes, and others who were schooled in the scriptures and held them in high views. They could quote more verses and scriptures. And others who were schooled in the scriptures, and he held them in high view. They could quote and quote and quote more verses in a single day than most people could do in a month. They knew the words. They had a terrible difficulty in seeing, making, and letting the words play out into righteous behavior. One of the things about humanity, we can have a lot of stuff. We could have been given a lot of stuff. But the stuff that we have, if it's not used, what good is it? If you have something that's really good and you never use it, what good is it? It ends up being just an ornament on the wall. Jesus was very critical of those religious leaders and drew attention to their lack of following the right path, and they were leading Israel astray. This is why you hear Jesus say, "Be hearers not only, but doers of the word." The true believer says, "I want to hear the word of God and live it." If we don't understand the essence of it, it'll never be effective in leading us into the right path. They, like many of us, miss the really important things in the Word of God while trying to find out things that would selfishly benefit ourselves. This is not about being about ourselves. I have to have some interest in Alan. I have to have interest in all of us here. But that's not to sugarcoat anything, because you got to turn around and everybody here needs to say the same thing. You got the same important things to do as I do. I'm not anything different from you. Because I preach, I'm not better than you are. And at the same time, I'm not less than you are. We are here to be together and to work as a partnership. We are shaped to conform to the Word of God. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. David now swears on an oath to conform his life in God's righteous, filled word. When this last time we witnessed a congregation of believers, when is the last time that we've watched that? Taken an oath for the Word of God. "I have sworn with an oath and confirmed it," David would say. When you were baptized into Christ, you were plunged under the water. That water could have been any kind of water you could have imagined. It didn't matter whether it was clean water or dirty water. It was water. But what God does is He takes things and He molds it and He shapes it to us. And He has us to clean ourselves up. It's my job to clean myself up, and it's Alan's job to clean his up. I'm not here to clean him up, though I'm here to help him if he needs that. Relentlessly determined to look and live by God's word is what's happening right here. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Some versions say, I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Typically, when we speak of give me life, we're asking for help with our health or longevity. But it's not so with David. David was looking for the preservation of that which was inward and deep, more than a doctor could reach. He wanted to look real life in God so that he'd be able to endure the affliction. And he wanted all of this real life to come to him through God's Word. All David is saying is, God, I'm looking intently into your Word for the wholeness I need within. My trust in you, O God, will never fail. And you are with your Word, and I will find wholeness. Your word is truth, and I'm looking to your word, Lord, for relief, my severe affliction, and your word alone. Delight in the worship in your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. What happens here is interesting. He announces his delight in the worship as a free will offering of praise. Accept my free will offering of praise. These things coming from David. David is announcing his delight in the worship of God, which is huge. This is a farewell offering. And nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. No one is having to push or pull or beg. This offering is free flowing. It's free will offering. This is the time in which you delight, and there is no need to force or be forced to be involved. When you and I come to a point that we offer service, we will find our meaning. We'll know why we're here. His delight in worship leads to the answer to the petition. Accept my free will offering of praise. That's what his petition is. If we delight in worship, God will fill us with his presence, his word, and ministry for us. And we need to also know that though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. What's David saying? He's declaring that his obedience to God will cost him dearly. He knows and understands that there are powerful people out there waiting on him who are dead. So literally, he says, I know that obeying your law may cost me, and so I hold my life in my hand. I refuse to forget your law. But I'm going to hold on to my life loosely. David's decision is to heed God's word. Whatever happens, even the loss of his life is necessary. His vow is, I constantly take my life in my hand, and I will not forget your law. This is what God is saying. I want you. It's not about who's the best person in the world. I can help you with who's the best person in the world. I'll help you with that right now. That's going to be God Almighty, the Holy Spirit of God. And they're going to do this, and they're going to work with us. And we are going to be God's workmanship. And we'll be worth something more than we were the day we were born. Because God cleans us up. When you die, and you will, it's not over because you die. Here's this thing with God. just because you die don't mean it's over. There will be people, all of us, who will stand again in the presence of God Almighty. Do you believe these things? That's who God is. He's on our side. You're going to live forever. God's not through with us. He's not ready for us to go. But when He does get ready, He'll let us know. And the church said, amen.